Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Now say high five to the person beside you and say good morning also. Okay, high five. Give the person a big smile and say welcome. Okay, and now you look up here and give me a big smile. Okay, pastor can preach better whenever you see people smiling, okay? Come, let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We can be here to worship you. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. We know you have a word to speak to us because you, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the word of truth. And so, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin with, let me ask you a question. It's a very simple question, okay? And I want you to think about this question first before you answer this question. Are you ready? Very simple question. Don't worry. I'm not going to excommunicate you if you do not know the answer. And you don't have to buy me durian if you don't know the answer. And I do not need to buy you durian if you know the answer. Okay, get ready. Can a person think he is a Christian and yet not be a Christian? Yes or no? Can a person who thinks that he believes, thinks he follows God and has the notion that he is a Christian and yet he is not a Christian? Yes or no? The answer is yes. Yes, the answer is yes. I said this in my sermon the last time and I'm sorry to say this again. In America, more than 332 million people claim they know God. And 63% are self-identified with Christianity. Wow. But how many of them are really born again? How many of them really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of them are in church today and have a really personal relationship, walk with Jesus Christ? And the answer is less than 25%. And I'm being very generous with the figure because someone actually once said it's even less than 10%. And in Australia, which is now constitutionally a secular country, some two-thirds of the population state that they are Christian on record. In fact, they have been a secular country since 1985 when I was studying in Australia in Sydney. Came out in Christianity, a magazine, that Australia is now a secular country. The Reverend Fred Now, who served as a Member of Parliament in 2014, insisted no matter what, Australia is a Christian nation and is still a Christian nation today. And he contended that Australia was and has always been a Christian country no matter what. And then another member of parliament said, when you look at parliament around Australia, they all begin with the Lord's Prayer. If you look at our constitution, the preamble is about God. So does that make them a Christian country? Does that make them a Christian country? Does that make us a Christian if we can recite the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13? You know the Lord's Prayer? You can recite the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But what if I can recite also in Chinese? 我们在天上的父,愿人都尊你的名为圣,愿你的国降临,愿你的旨行在地上,义同行在天上,我们日用的饮食,今日赐给我们,免我们的债,义同我们免了还积债,不叫我们以见试探,救我们决离凶恶,因为国度权柄永远存着你的直到永远,阿们. Clap your hand. You know why I say clap your hand? Because I don't know Chinese. It's only up here, and it comes out here. Hello? Do I get double security? Double assurance in heaven, a bigger room in heaven, a bungalow, because I can recite both Lord's Prayer in English and Chinese. Well, this morning, Let us see, as Jesus is continuing his address to those who think they believe, to those who think they follow God, to those who think they have a notion that they are children of God, but have never yielded to him the depths of allegiance that is at the core of real belief. Let's turn to our Bible, to John chapter 8, looking at John chapter 8, 31 to 59. I know it's a very long passage, and I will not read it. Okay, just turn with me to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 30, which we look at in the last message, John reported that many people who overheard Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees put their faith in him. They put their faith in him as the light of the world and as the only way to heaven, the only way, one way. And now Jesus turns his allegiance, attention to these people, and he begins his beginner class for the new believers. He said in verses 31, 32. Look at verses 31, 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want to memorize this verse together? Let's read together. John chapter 8. Verses 31 to 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do it one more time, okay? John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a wonderful word. It constitutes clearly what it means to really be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So how do we be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Is it to know God? Is it to believe in God? Is it to identify with Christianity? Is it to give money to help the poor, give our tithes? Is it to be baptized, to be able to recite the Lord's Prayer? Yes, we should do all that I have mentioned, but it's more than that. Jesus says, not what the Pharisee says, if you hold to my teaching, not the Pharisee teaching, not what the world teaches, you're really my disciples. And if Jesus is speaking to the Baptist churches, he will be saying to us, not what the church constitution say, but my teaching. You know, Baptist churches are very, very well known to be holding strictly to the constitution. And some even believe that constitution is even more important than the word of God. No, it's not what the church constitution say, but God's teaching. Then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The point Jesus is making here is that to be his disciples, we must hold to his teaching. To be set free, we must know the truth, again, to his teaching. And this is a chain reaction. So what does it mean to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? First, hold to his teaching. Second, once we know the truth, his teaching, we will be set free. Actually, Jesus is asking us to do one thing here. He's asking us to abide in his word. Abide in his word. Abide in his teaching. Now, we must remember this background. Jesus was talking to a group of people who previously would not yield to true allegiance to God and to the word. And they would not yield to total complete surrender allegiance to Jesus Christ. Because these people were self-willed. These people were self-centered. These people were self-satisfied with their own hardened condition. And they possessed a blind determination that they knew what was right and true. And therefore, the word of Jesus, the word of God, the teaching of Jesus could not be received, could not penetrate through their hearts. And thus, they were the enemies of Jesus Christ. Until John reported here that many of them put their faith in him after Jesus' conversation with the Pharisee. Now, let me quickly get this out of the way. Who were the listeners represented here then in verse 33? Look at verse 33. They answer him. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slave of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Now, please note that the pronounced they in verse 33 here are not referring to the new believers mentioned in verse 30, for they would not argue with their newfound Savior. So if John chapter 8 verse 37 is any guide, they probably refers to the same unbelieving Jewish leaders who had opposed Jesus Christ throughout this conversation. And therefore, they still did not understand his message. They were still ignorant. They were still proud. They were still arrogant and still walking in darkness and still refused to believe that Jesus is the light of the world and Jesus is the only way to heaven. And that's because they did not fully examine the evidence that Jesus is truly who he claims to be. And today, still millions of people reject Jesus Christ without really examining the evidence of who he is. They do not believe because my ancestors are Buddhists and therefore I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I have to follow my ancestor. And they say to you, Jesus is a Western God. It's only for the white people. It's not the white hair, okay? It's the white people. And they say that Jesus is a prophet. He's just a good man. He's just a good teacher. Or have you ever heard someone say to you, I have a good life, so I don't need Jesus Christ? You know, many years back, I think about 5-6 years ago, a member in our church called me and said, Pastor, can you visit my brother-in-law in the hospital? And then he said to me, together with the wife, but we want to warn you, he's a very stubborn man. And he will tell you off if he does not like to hear whatever you're going to say to him. So please be warned if you're going to meet him. So I say, it's okay. I make an appointment. I went to the hospital to see him. The moment I sat down, the brother-in-law, the wives, and also another lady was there standing beside. I sat down beside him and I asked, how are you? And he told me a long story. No, he told me, Pastor, he knew that I was a pastor because the family member told him that Pastor is coming to visit you, okay? So he said, I have a good life. I'm very active in sports. I play golf. I play tennis. I only eat good food, okay? Not those jiao cha, the durian like Pastor John, all those heady food. I only eat good food and I exercise, and I'm a good person. I give money to help the poor, and I'm very happy with my family. And I always believe that Jesus is only for poor people, people who are sick, people who really need him, and it's for people who are suffering. And I paused for a while, and I was praying in my heart. Then he said this word, I'm so happy with my life, but I don't understand why this thing happened to me. I have cancer, fourth stage cancer. And I began to think when I have been in the hospital for the last 1-2 weeks that I really need Jesus. The moment he said that, I stopped him and I said to him, that's true. Jesus is for everyone. Bad time, even for good time. And I shared the gospel with him. And then he received the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole family members were standing there all in tears. They were so surprised. I do not know whether they were really praying for him to accept Christ or praying that he don't scold Pastor John. But he received Jesus Christ. There and then he received Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you also. There are people who do not believe in Jesus Christ today because they're very satisfied with their life. They're very happy with their family. They have everything they want and they do not need Jesus. And they think that Jesus is only for the poor people. People who are suffering during this pandemic. People are hiding the house because of fear of this COVID. No, Jesus is for everyone. So brothers and sisters, listen to the word of God. The gospel of John was written in John chapter 20, verse 31, at the end of this gospel, John writes, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Now, obviously, then, if you want to believe, if you want to be free, if you want to be all we want to be, we must begin by examining the evidence about Jesus Christ, all that is written about Him. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Read the gospel. Read the word. Search the Bible. Search them out. Do not reject them because an atheistic professor sneered at Jesus in the classroom. Do not reject them because a cult distort him and present a supposedly historic figure that have no basis in fact. Do not reject them because you're happy with your own life. Do not reject them because you find him difficult to understand. Examine the evidence. That is the first place to begin. And it all comes back then to what Jesus is asking us to do here, to abide in the word. So coming back to my question, how to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Very simply this. The answer is to abide in His word, to hold His teaching. We must learn the word. That's the first thing to do. Jesus wants to make sure those who have believed Him know what they are signing up for. He doesn't want us to be blind followers. He doesn't want us for those who come to the church because the parents force them to come to church early in the morning. Wake me up for what? Go to church. Hello? He doesn't want those who come to church to enjoy the comfort of the aircon. You know, I actually talked to somebody, a visitor to the church, who came to Care Baptist Church a long time ago, and I asked, "Why do you come to Care Baptist Church?" "Because I just enjoy the comfort of this church aircon." I know there are people like that. I know, I hope there are no people here are not enjoying the comfort of the aircon. Otherwise, switch off a few aircon. Okay. He doesn't want people to come to church because they have nothing to do on Sunday. He doesn't want false disciples. Jesus wants true disciples, one who is a learner, who follows Jesus, one who learns from the word of Jesus and therefore knows the truth. And so these people refer to as they, in verse 33, they don't abide in the word of Jesus. They don't know the truth, and the truth will not set them free. So, brothers and sisters, do you want to be a true disciple? Put it in another way, do you want to learn from Jesus? You see, one of the tests of being a true disciple is whether we believe what Jesus says. Not some of what Jesus say. Not just those that we like, those that make sense, those that are not controversial, those that are believable. Now, I have to admit that much of what Jesus said to us today can sometimes be either confusing or no logic or too direct or maybe too straightforward. And therefore, we will hear someone say sometimes in the Bible studies, and they tell you outright, "I don't like it. I don't think it's right. I don't think it makes common sense at all." And they tell you, "How can Jesus actually teach this? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How can you do that? If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. How can you do that? If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This crazy." Well, may I say this to you? Even if you don't like it, even if you don't think it makes sense, even if you don't think it is the right thing to do, believe it and do it. But of course, you must know accurately what Jesus is saying. He does not mean literally to turn the other cheek. He is saying not to retaliate when we are provoked. So, brothers and sisters, true disciples don't simply dismiss what is confusing or controversial or hard. They wonder if they are missing something, they're missing anything where they are wrong. And so they ask questions. They search, they probe even deeper to learn the word. Secondly, to abide in His Word, to hold to His teaching, we must have the Word. We must have this Word inside here, inside here, inside here. The Word is not just up here, no, just head knowledge. Today there are many with head knowledge, and some of these people score 100 marks for the Bible knowledge, and they can quote Bible verses, and they can recite Bible verses at the tip of their finger, and they can even do it better than Pastor John or Deacon Bruce. And they're like the Pharisees here. Look at verse 37. Verse 37, Jesus considered their claim to be of Abraham lineage. I know you are Abraham descendant, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word, or my word has no place in you. You see, these people lay claim to Abraham, the man of faith, the man who based his life on following God's word, the man who exhibited his faith in God by living in light of God's promises, even when they were not quickly fulfilled or easily understood. And even against any human reason, Abraham followed God because he believed God's word and have God's word in his life. But these people, in spite of the fact that they were physical descendants of Abraham, they were not characteristically like him. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. They disobeyed the voice of God. Abraham was a friend of God. They wanted to kill Jesus, becoming enemies of God. Abraham listened to God's truth and obeyed the word. They rejected the truth because God's word found no place in them. They have no room in their lives for God. And therefore, they even answered Jesus Christ, "Abraham is our father," in verse 39. So what? So coming back to my question, how can we be a true disciples of Jesus Christ? Very simply, the answer is to abide in His word. We must learn the word. Then we must have the word of God in our lives, inside here. And then thirdly, to abide in His word, to hold to His teaching, we must hear the word. You look at verse 43. Look at verse 43. "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." You are unable to hear what I say. We must remember that these people, the Pharisees that major in religion, they were all PhD holders. I wonder if they have permanent head damage or not. And they are professionals. They are descendants of the great patriarch Abraham. They are theological experts, and of such they would not receive Jesus or what He teaches because they are unable to hear the word. Now, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be humble to hear the preaching of the word of God. And as you come to the church every Sunday, are you really, really, really hearing the word? Are you really, really hearing the word? You know, are you hearing the voice of the devil? I say this to you, the devil is still speaking today. Even as you sit down here to hear the worship, join us for worship, hear the preaching of the word, the devil can still be speaking. Now, many years ago, I have a lot of true story testimonies to share. Many years ago, there was a classmate of mine when he had depression. So many things happened to the family. He was on the way back crossing the main highway of Oakland Road. Now, he heard two voices. He said this, one side was telling him jump. Jump basically means commit suicide. When the running car was coming fast, jump. Just let the car run over you. And then there is another voice he heard, Ensing. Ensing, that's my Chinese name. That's my school name, Ensing. So he was struggling as he stand at the busy road of Oakland Road. Jump or Ensing. So to him, Ensing means basically go and see me and believe in Jesus Christ. He decided to come to see me. He went to the office. He bashed in the office. Still remember, he did not even knock on my door. Bashed right in front of me. I was seated down. He looked at me and stared at me and said this to me. "I still remember. Teach me how to become a Christian. I don't want to know anything, but just teach me how to become a Christian." I was so stunned. No pastor have to beg people to accept Christ. "Please, la, accept Jesus Christ, la. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. You must believe in Jesus Christ." We have to appeal, and we have to say it again and again and again and again. But here is the a classmate of mine who stood right in front of me and just said to me, tell me how to become a Christian. I don't want to hear any other thing. I was so stunned. I said, can you just sit down for a while? And I asked him, why do you want to receive Jesus Christ? He told me his long story, and after which he told me about hearing two voices from the devil to jump and to see me, and he made that decision to see me. After hearing his story, I shared the gospel, he accepted Jesus Christ. Now today, you can still hear the voice of the devil. And I can tell you this, the devil may be speaking to some of you, what are you doing here this morning? You know, the pandemic is still here, no? COVID is still around, no? Still spreading, you know? The last 2 weeks, many people, kena, you're not scared, ah? You know, the devil can be saying to you, you work so hard. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you work, and slot like a slave, and then Sunday is the time to what? Stay home. Why you wake up so early? There's a park city service 11 o'clock, it's okay. You sleep until 9, 10 o'clock, it's okay. KLBC, you have to wake up earlier. You know, stay home. Go and play golf. You know, sleep. You don't need to even worry about parking when you come to Desa Park City here. Are you hearing the voice of the devil? Or are you hearing the voice of the flesh? You know, the voice of the flesh will be saying, what am I going to eat afterward? Should I stay back to have my refreshment in the Road Cafe today? Or should I stay back to meet up with some people? Or hope the preacher won't preach too long? No, don't worry about Pastor John. Pastor John loves to kiss. Keep it short and simple in my sermon. I stand up, I speak up, I shut up, I sit down after 30 minutes. But in Desa Park City, 40 minutes. They give you so much time to preach. You know, you may be hearing the voice of the flesh because you are not hearing the word, because you are thinking and hearing other things. Now, for some of you here, let's be honest, your body may be here this morning, but your mind could be 100 miles away from here. Am I correct or not? No need to raise your hand. You may be thinking for some, where to get the money to pay for your child education or house rental end of this month? Or about the meeting tomorrow with your boss, or about the football match yesterday? You're not hearing the word, just like the religious leaders here who were so wrapped up in the preconception, in their own way of thinking, that they could not hear the word of God. Why? Is it because Jesus was a poor communicator, that his language was not clear enough? I don't think so. Or is it because Pastor John is a terrible speaker, his message is not clear enough? I hope not. Jesus himself answered his own question, because you are unable to hear what I say. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to face up to their need to change, to repent. And therefore, Satan used their stubbornness, their pride, and their prejudices to keep them from believing in Jesus Christ. So coming back to my question here, how to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Very simply this, the answer is to abide in his word. We must learn the word. We must have the word in our lives, and then we must hear the word. And then lastly, we must be of God to receive the word. Look at verse 47. Verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Hear this. A person must be of God to truly hear the word of God. A man who is tone deaf cannot experience the thrill of music. A man who is colorblind cannot appreciate a beautiful painting. A man without the Spirit of God cannot recognize God's truth when he hears it. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, who came to him at night, and to that man who knew the Old Testament, who was a PhD holder, who was an expert in the law, Jesus said to him, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, the problem with these people was that they were followers of the devil, and that's why they were not able to hear the word of God. They were not able to learn the word. They were not able to have the word in their life. They were not able to hear the word because they were not of God to receive the word. And Jesus in verse 44 specifically names their father. you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Wow. Would you like that when someone says to you, that's your father? That your father is the devil? And not only that, Jesus even mentioned the types of father they belong to. And Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He is also a liar and the father of lies. Well, frankly speaking, I would not want to have a father like that. Would you like to have a father like that? You know, the attitude and action of these leaders Jesus is talking to clearly identify them as followers of the devil. And therefore, Jesus warns us. He says that Satan is the father of lies. And so to his people who follow him, carried out his desires and voluntarily did his will, they were his tools in carrying out his plan. And they say, they speak the same message of lies. And so Jesus declares here in verse 45, they were not of God because I speak the truth and yet you do not believe me. They have no interest whatsoever to receive the word. And today let us be warned. Beware that Satan makes a lie sound the truth and God's truth sound like a lie. He is crafty, he is subtle, deceptive, and cunning. He's clever and he tricks us to swallow his lie. Just like he tempted Eve. Did God really say? Did he really say that? You know, this morning, let us be reminded that his cunning method can only be discerned by knowing this book, holding the truth, knowing God's truth. So then finally, what is the truth? What does it mean to hold to the truth? And I don't need to give you any theological answer. You have been seeing me holding this book, no? This book in my hand, the Bible. It's yellow color, used to be black, torn Bible. Somebody said, Pastor, cannot bear any longer. Your Bible is coming out pieces. So can I redo and repack your Bible nicely for you? I say, okay, why not? No, and the person spent $300 to do this. No, I can buy one new Bible for $60. And it took $300 to redo this Bible for me. You know, the Bible, it's not how it looks like or what color it looks like. This book, the Bible, this is the truth. Both the Old and the New Testament, everything about God, everything about Jesus Christ is on every page. And when we learn the word, have the word in our lives, hear the word, be of God, to receive the word, a wonderful thing will happen, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. That's a marvelous claim. The truth will deliver us, permit us to be all that we were meant to be. Now let me put it into a practical term. What does it free us from? No, it's very important to come to a church to hear the preaching of the word and end with application. You know, you just come and get head knowledge at the end. What do I need to do? Nothing. No. What does it free us from? It frees us from all issues of life. Issues that keep us from being all that we were meant to be. Issues that stop us from moving, limit us, and bound us. It is happening to every one of us, everybody, everywhere. We all suffer from many issues of life. For example, fear. Fear is probably the biggest one. Being afraid. Being worried, anxious, insecure, timid, constantly threatened by anxiety over our children's education, our children's welfare. If our children are single, to look for a life partner. If our children are married, we will worry about whether he or she will get a good loving spouse. And if they are working, we will worry about whether they have enough to eat. Now then there is anger. Have you ever felt angry and mad at life in general? Have you ever woken up in the morning feeling down? You didn't feel like saying anything. You felt like a quiet rage in your heart and you don't even know why. You don't feel like you want to come to church this morning. There's hostility, there's hatred, there's rage inside you wanting to strike out at everybody. And then there's guilt. Suffering inwardly from a terrible sense of failure, making wrong decision, of shame about things in your past, and you are hurt and you have to look for, you have to look for despair and even the depression. You have a look of despair and depression. And then there is pride, proud, aggressive, arrogant spirit and aloofness and withdrawing from others, especially those not on par with you. No, brothers and sisters, do you see how practical all these things are? This is what Jesus is talking about. His wonderful promise is that there is a way out. You bring them to me. Cast all your burdens and anxiety to me. Jesus is saying to you, listen to my word. I bring you peace and I bring you comfort and I bring you even healing. And I even bring you freedom from your slavery to sin, slavery to alcohol, slavery to smoking, slavery to gambling, slavery to lying. A wonderful thing will happen, and therefore there will be a change in us because we have been given a new life that we never had before, and we will begin to be free from all issues of life. Brothers and sisters, friends, it will happen. In fact, it is happening to millions of people all over the world. And it had happened to some of you here too, who could stand up and say, Pastor John, amen to what you're saying. That had happened to me also. I find myself able to live freely at last. And I find myself free from all problems and issues of life. And it's getting better all the time. I was a drug addict, but now I am set free. My wife and I were on the verge of divorce, but now that both of us have come to know Jesus Christ, our lives have changed, and we are now back in love again with God and with one another. And also, like this wonderful and most famous song we just sang, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That is going to happen. Brothers and sisters, that is what this book, the Bible, can do if we abide in His word to hold to His teaching. The truth will set you free. And this is the promise of Jesus Christ, friends. This is the promise. So coming back to my question for the last time, how to be a true disciples of Jesus Christ? Very simply, the answer is to abide in His word. We must learn the word. We must have the word in our lives. We must hear the word. We must be of God to receive the word. Then a wonderful thing will happen. The truth will set us free. And is that God, what God is saying to you today? A true disciple, true Christian must abide in His word. And so as we come to the close, we have to ask ourselves, what do I do? What do I do with the word of Jesus Christ? Do I read the word? Do I study the word? Do I memorize the word? Do I attend Bible study school? CG Connect Group, BSF Bible Study Fellowship, Young People's Meeting, live classes, to know more about the truth. To know more about the word, and that is to be a true disciples of Jesus Christ. You decide. You decide. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you help us this morning to decide for ourselves, what do I want to do with the word of Jesus, the Bible? Father, I pray that you help us speak to us. Those of us who have not read your word, study your word, memorize your word, even attend Bible study group, Lord, may you challenge them, speak to them. Help them to really examine your word, read your word, study your word, and to know what you want us to do, to be a true disciples of Jesus Christ, to abide in your teaching, to be obedient. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Help us to make the right decision, the wise decision to follow after Jesus Christ and to abide in His word, we pray. Thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen.